All right, the Lord is good. Once again, if you believe it, give me an amen.
Amen.
All right, let's continue from where we stopped. I just feel like this on this praying for the nation matter, how to pray for a nation. We have laid certain foundations. I want to go on to talk about some. Initially, I thought maybe I should come to an end. I should end the series there, but I just realized there's something I want to explain. Now, earlier, like I said, we're laying the foundations or concerning what we are talking about. What kind of people must we be? What are the principles that underlie this praying for the country? What kind of people should we be? How do we address, how do we react to the things that are occurring around us? We've already established the fact that it is work that we must do. We said that we must be the salt of the earth. We cannot be participating in the iniquity in the land if we are praying that the country should change. God does not even bother to listen to us, and that is a matter of fact. He doesn't even bother. And then we explained that we must keep our staff of authority up. Last time I talked about, first of all, that prayers and petitions is a first of all thing to be made for all men, for kings, and for those who are in authority. It's a what? First of all thing. That what we often do is to do it last of all. We first of all criticize. We first of all analyze. We first of all make suggestions to people who are not listening to us. We first of all abuse. We first of all accuse, which is not right. I emphasize and very important, we should read them again, those scriptures. We read them that from Zechariah chapter 3, that when Joshua came up, all right, before the judgment throne, the judgment seat of God, and Satan came up to accuse him. Joshua was legitimately accusable in that he was wearing filthy garments. But the Lord did not go that way. The principle of intercession was what he used. He said, the Lord rebuke you, all right? Because God had a purpose in the life of Joshua, who was standing as high priest, which means that he was representing the iniquity of the land by his filthy garments. Yet, intercession was made for him, and his dirty robes were removed. And the crown of authority, all right, which represented blessing, was placed upon his head, even though he came with filthy garments. The principle is that intercession works. You understand my point? Yeah, it works. And that's why, if you look at it again, is the land we're talking about now. So, Sodom and Gomorrah, that was what happened to them. Their garments were very, very filthy. But Abraham was able to intercede, and he would have gotten what he asked for if they had had a critical mass that was necessary. So you will have found out that Sodom and Gomorrah will have survived that judgment, but not because of their righteous works, but because of the intercession of Abraham and the righteousness of just a few people. Very important. So that's the principle underlying all of these things about prayer. Now, today I want to pick up from there and say, what exactly do we ask God concerning, and we're talking about the country. We're talking about how we ask, the principles underlying those things. Now, what are the things that we ask God for? Now, let me just say this to us again. It's not in line exactly with our teaching, but it came to my mind during the week. I shared it with Israel and with my wife, and I just feel like sharing it with us again so that we know people listen to this from many places, and the word of God is profitable for correction. Are you getting my point? Yes, so we have to help people know what is right. Now, one of the things we talk about is a plowman of hope, you know, and I explained that in that plowman of hope thing, that the Bible says that the plowman should plow in hope. That is, when he's walking, he should have an expectation of what he's going to get. And I said that praying for a nation is work. And then this time around, I'm emphasizing the fact that when you are praying, you should actually expect God to answer. And so you don't pray one prayer and pretend like he's never going to answer. The example I gave is that we say, like if you're part of these teachings we have been having over years, I've always been very positive about the country, very, very. You know, that's how God taught me. I learned it early. I've been very, very positive. And we pray, it's not just about having a positive attitude now, but praying about those things. And I'm going to talk about it again today. All right? So we said that we must always have that. So you don't pray for your country that it will be good, and you are planning for when it will be bad. Yeah, that's not working in faith. I said, okay, what if you are taking a risk? I said, that's something about faith. Just trust that God will take care of you. Yeah. That's what faith is. All right? I'm praying, so I'm making plans like God will answer me. So what if he gets to a situation, in which the iniquity is so bad, God has to pour forth judgment. What he does is to deliver me out of that. And that becomes one of the rewards for the prayer. At the point in time Jeremiah was praying, God said, listen, stop praying. It happens like that. We haven't gotten to that point. All right? We haven't gotten. Trust me, we haven't gotten there. All right? Now, Jeremiah prayed and prayed, and God said, because God called Jeremiah to go and break down, to uproot. When he saw what was happening, he felt bad. So he prayed to God that God have mercy upon the land. And that's among the things we're going to talk about again. What are the things we ask for? After a while, God called to Jeremiah, this is your prayer. I won't answer it. He said, even if Moses and Samuel were to pray, I still wouldn't answer. And these are people that had prayed in the past, and God had relented concerning what he wanted to do. So God said to Jeremiah, okay, you think you can pray? Go and wake Moses up. Wake Samuel up. People have done this thing before you. If they prayed on this particular judgment, I won't answer. He said, because the destruction that I have determined, like the Bible says, is overflowing with righteousness. He said, I can't do anything but to pour forth my wrath, all right, upon these people. For that reason, you know what he now said to him? He said, but you, I will give you your life as a booty. That's what he said to him. You, what you will get out of this is that no evil will befall you. You'll be okay. That's what he said to him. So Jeremiah saw once when the angels came and said, mark everybody that is sighing and groaning for the iniquity that is in the land. Any of that person is going to be dead. And Jeremiah watched the angels run up and down marking people, and only him was marked. They were looking for who to mark. They didn't find. But Jeremiah, that had the passion of God in his heart, was walking in righteousness and groaning and praying concerning the things that were happening in the land, the things that were happening. God put a mark on him and spared him, you know, because of that. Are you getting my point? So that's something that, let's relax for God. Did you hear what I said? Let's relax. He will take care of you. All right? But I don't even believe that we have gotten to that point. I believe very strongly that good is coming. Amen. And those who labor, not physically now, spiritually, the land will yield its increase for those people. Amen. The land, this land, that is, you will sit, you will fall asleep one day, you wake up into abundance. Because God commanded it towards you. That's how God arranges these things. Now, there's something I just want you to say about that. When we're talking about laboring in hope, all right? So I said, that's why I don't believe that, you are praying for the country. Then when you want to have your children, you now strategize so that you can go and have them where they will have an opportunity in case the country scattered to have another country. You know, you don't want to, I'm not criticizing people, but that's always been my own attitude, all right? You want bomb picking? Go born them for born them around. They say you go get Nigerian passport. Your papa waiting when you get. Yet you, are you getting my point? Are you not prospering today? I don't know whether you're getting my point. You know, a lot of the way we think, we obviously don't have faith. Yes, that's how we Christians behave. We behave in such a manner that is clear we have no faith at all. We are just going to church. In fact, one of the things I wanted to talk about today, I just realized I have not finished this pray for the nation thing, is that how to pray for your children. Maybe all of this is because of children's future. Abi?
Yeah.
Yes. What they need, what those children need, eh? What they need is prayer. That day I was telling my wife that I just feel like we should pray for this kid. We haven't even done it, but even though we haven't joined hands, but I woke up during the night. One by one, I was calling them by name. Simple prayer, nothing difficult. In the name of Jesus, I can be to be well with you. The Lord will bless you. He will keep you. He will cause his face to shine upon you. He will be gracious unto you. He will lift up his countenance upon you, and he will give you peace. No evil shall befall you. No plague will come near your dwelling. When I finish, I start on the next one. I was speaking them one by one. At the point, I will fall asleep. Then when I wake up, I know where I stopped. I know where I stopped. I said, who was the last person? No, I remember the last person. Oh, yeah, you next. And I just get up and pacing around. Just me. I'm just pacing around. That's what they need. They don't need money in the bank account. A friend of mine told me something once. I laughed. He said, he started thinking, he looked at his children, he suddenly got worried. He said, should I keep money in pounds? Or is it in euro? Or is he in dollar? He said, then he realized something, that he was sweating. It wasn't hot. Maybe the AC was on. But while he was thinking, he had become so charged up emotionally, he had begun to sweat. When he told me, I laughed. Safety is of the Lord. You know, the kind of person I am, the way God taught me, if I was the one, and I was thinking, should I keep in dollar and euro, and I had the dollar there. That's how I do. God has taught me that one. For me to sit down and say, this dollar should have been kept for this change. Next day, the spending spree. The spending spree is giving spree. I'm telling you, just that money that I was thinking before, I said, so you are a temptation, Abi. All right, let me show you something. If it was in dollar, I'll go and convert it to naira. Boy, it's more chop. Oh, boy, you don't chop. Come sit down. You won't know what I'm doing. I will go out, you understand? I said, boy, I want to go and buy some suits. You want to come? You go there before I'll buy suits for everybody. You won't know, this man is in a mood, you know? You won't know that I'm cutting off unbelief out of my life. That's it. I start cutting, that's all this one that I lay down for tomorrow for children. When we are through, I said, God, So those children, right now, you know, nothing but you. If you don't arrange, nothing else go arrange you. You know that kind of thing. That's it. Now, this is Jesus I wanted to give you briefly. Then I get back into the main message on how to pray for the country. I was reading news a few days ago, BBC News. And something struck me, right? The news was reported very simply with no emotional attachment. No, what the Yoruba would call judging. They were not judging. They just reported it simply. They did an award in one, I won't mention the country, but one of these Western countries. They did an award. You know, movie awards, you know, Grammy awards. What's the one for movies now? The Oscars, all right? They have another name for it. Academy. The Academy Awards, all right? So they did this, you know, those kind of awards. This one, they did the awards. One particular group did the award for pornography. You hear what I said? They did their own award, you know, because like Christian music, they have Dove Awards in the U.S. They have Grammy Awards. Then for Christian musicians, they had Dove Awards. Now this one, this was in one of those Western countries. They had an award ceremony for pornographers. And they were given an award. And you see all of them pose. Normal people take pictures and they interview them. I was reading this in BBC News. You know, normal news. You know, normal news. You know the way you read Daily Times? Vanguard, This Day Online. I also read news on BBC. BBC News, just normal news, just scroll. This one, pornography awards. They said they are talking about one particular feminist kind of pornography. Hey, now, you see the pictures of the normal pictures, that is normal daily pictures of the pornographers, that is the producers, the actors, all of them, I said, original Ayetidori Kodo. The world is upside down. That is, the producers were not hiding. The actors are not hiding. They gave interviews. Yes, we like this kind of pornography because it allows us to express ourselves like this. I said, Jesus, God, your patience, I have a problem with it too. It's too long. What are you up to? Now, this is the interesting part. This is what I'm talking about. It was normal news. They were not like, look at, you know, if Charisma News reported that, they will report it with a slant to let you see what the devil is doing on the earth. I don't know whether you get my point. But this one, no, not like that. It was like, yes, there was an event that occurred. They give you the name of the town, the hotel they use. People, you know, the way you have Academy Awards, and they're taking pictures. And you see them looking like normal people. That's not my gist. My gist is that this same country, over the last few years, they started giving out their citizenship free, almost. Just come there, buy a house, live there for some time. Once you buy the house, they give you their residency permit. Then, you become a citizen after a while. Just a few years. And Nigerians rushed for it. And I'll keep on saying, let your money not be a curse to you. It's very important. Those who do those things are those who have prospered locally. An average civil servant who's struggling, an average businessman who's trying to get, doesn't remember. I mean, where's he going to get $300,000 to buy a house somewhere from? He doesn't have it. So it's those who have prospered that do these kind of things. Now, we need to speak also who wake up. And I said, why do we do it? You want a place where your children, I'm back to this children matter. Because men don't do it themselves. They carry their wives and their children and drop them there
And they are local, you know, they are based locally here. I'm struggling out here and go visit your family. Why? You want my children to go to school, you know, have a this, and it has to go on strike. I think it's a very, let me not use harsh words, but don't be silly. As it goes on strike, they also end the strike. Then, now, this is what I'm talking about. Why do we do this? We have a stable economy, we want a stable environment, but it doesn't cross your mind that the spiritual environment is horrible. You're willing to put your children in a good physical environment with a horrible, you know, spiritual environment. The spiritual environment is horrible. He goes out in the morning, he's going by, they say, what's going on? Okay, that's the big movie star in pornography. Yeah, she's very good, you know. And they talk about it normally. Your child is going to grow up thinking pornography is normal. And you have no problem with it. But you have a problem with the fact that instead of studying his course in 4 years, it may take him 5 years. The extra 1 year is a problem to you. But the fact that he will go to school where his teacher is a transvestite and he cannot see anything doesn't matter to you. As far back as 23 years ago, this country I'm talking about already had a law against gay bashing. What they call gay bashing, you cannot say to anybody homosexuality is wrong. Gay bashing doesn't mean beating a gay man. No. Gay bashing means that you can't say publicly that homosexuality is wrong. They had it 20-something years ago. Now they are offering you citizenship free, and you think it is a sign that you love your children, that you will raise them under such circumstances. You are not even there to guide them. Let me tell you the truth. You don't believe in spiritual things. You don't. You don't. That is why you are willing to sell a house here, buy a house there. Why? You want a future for your children. What future? Only economic future. What about spiritual future? You have never asked yourself, which church are they going to go to? We don't ask those questions. We don't. Which church will these children go to? Who will be their friends? You are relocating? I have no problem. You know, you must understand me. You can go to Australia. You can go to my good place, Malawi. You can go to Kenya. You can go to anywhere. I have no problem. But think. How are you reasoning? I read that one that day. You know, I said, do you realize we don't think about this thing? What do we think about? Economy is good. Worldliness. Flesh carnality. Light is constant. Water flows. You see what I'm saying? The roads, they don't have pothole. As for crime, it's the same everywhere. Don't forget all of these things. It's the same. The other day I was reading in America, in the news, the same BBC news. One man carried his wife, his children, four children, shot all of them, shot himself and burnt the house down. It is in America, a man will just carry a gun, enter a cinema. As all of you are watching, you get up. Before somebody pulls out a gun to shoot him, he has killed like 17 people. And then he paints his hair yellow and goes to court and he's smiling. And the judge doesn't even know what to do. If I kill this one now, is he going to bring the 17 people that are dead back from the dead? One of our brothers, he works somewhere in Port Harcourt area. So there's an American guy there, a European, one of them. The guy has married an Asian and said he's staying in Nigeria permanently. So they said, oh, why? You're not going back home. He said, why should I go back home? It's summer around the year in Nigeria. 12 months a year is summer. Why am I going to? He said, what about crime? He said, listen, the crime in Nigeria is economic. If they kidnap you, give them money, they'll release you. This was a white man talking. He said, it's about money. So that to him is not a problem. He said, back home, a man will take you and cut you to pieces for nothing. You can't beg him, you can't pay him. He said, no, that he prefers a Nigerian criminal. Now, when that one is coming, we will share the money. Say, how much? $5,000 take. Let me not see you for some weeks, okay? He said, but back home, he said, no, that the kind of criminal that he sees there, they scare him. That is, you as home, woman will just come, lock the doors, tie you down. You didn't do him anything. He wants to see how it will be like to be cutting your leg one by one. Remove one toe today, dress it for you. Tomorrow, come on the other toe. You know, when I watched on TV, very funny. The guy will go and kidnap young boys, I know what he does. Be breaking their leg every day. Break their leg until, of course, normally, of course, for those of you who know medicine well, you break the thighs, you bleed enough into the thighs to die. And he had done a few. But one of the boys did that one escaped. We now found that he had killed like three other boys like that. They would just disappear. So that white man said, that's what he doesn't like. That in Nigeria, when the armed robber has come, his money is looking for. So we understand each other. I don't say there's crime everywhere. That's the point I'm trying to make. All right? Now, I can say I don't care where you live, really, primarily. But I care how you reason. That's my own. If you think you are planning for a better future for your children because somebody is offering you something, listen, let me tell you the truth. These things that are spiritual control the things that are physical. The spiritual climate of today determines the economic climate of tomorrow. Are you getting my point? Just bear that one in mind. I don't understand Christians. You get up, you make plans. Why? You don't ask yourself, who will be my children's teacher? You said the academic curriculum is regular. In some of those schools, the law is simple. You cannot, they don't say father, mother anymore. They say parents one and parents two. Yes, that's the trend now. They don't even say, you know, when you fill form, husband, wife. No. It is partner. Because half of those who come to the place are not married. Amongst the ones that are married, some are married to boys. Meanwhile, they are men. They are married to men. So, yes. So the society says it's the way they like it. So they redesign their forms. So that if you go to school, your child goes to school, his neighbor's father is a man, the mother is a man. And people are comfortable with that. If you are born in that circumstance, you know that is your problem to face. But I'm a bit concerned with when you make the decision because of financial gain. The morality doesn't matter to you. Listen, why, you know, I dropped that one. I look for where to add it to our issue of, you know, a plowman of what? Of hope. When you are making decisions, please watch these things. So, when I make decisions, I just shake my head. I say, how do you reason? Let's just be normal. Let's just look around. Why do you think a country is God? There's no country that's God. There's no safety anywhere in this world, though. This is where God protects you. That's where you are safe. You know, the days of one of our brothers in Bonny Island told me something. He said one of his colleagues in their office. One day the guy was shaking his head like he doesn't know what to do again. You know why? There was a time that militants were attacking, you know, the Niger Delta area. It was serious. So he was so terrified, gathered his wife and children and located them to Abuja. You know, you understand my point? So bought a house in Abuja, kept the wife and children there. And he came back there and was walking. The militancy ended, you understand? These kidnappings, shooting and all of that. And then bombing began in Abuja. So the guy was now confused. Okay, now what do I do? I ran away from here. I went somewhere else. Now, I don't even know what to do there again. Where will I carry them to next? And that's how this life is. As Christians, we must bear these things in mind. That's why I have to keep on saying these things. I don't understand how you want to plan for your children. Your plan is purely economic and you are a Christian. You are not concerned. Now, I cannot, look, I'm not going to, if I have the choice, I'm not going to try and raise my children where they will call police if I flog them. If I have the choice. I have to be able to, that is, you remember that video, when I said, Grandpa, shut up. The boy said, yeah, what did I say again? Hey, Babo, the man shout, you call police. The boy says, we're going to call the cops, we're going to call the cops. Yeah, call out, call out, say one, they go. When the policeman arrived, he said, what's your phone? He said, well, let him to shut up. Eh? The policeman said, you told your grandfather to shut up. That is a criminal offense. A dereliction of the constitution. Now he began to beat it. Grandpa said, your papa don't spoil you, I go repair you before you go back. The Lord is good. Please, I don't know whether you are connecting what I'm saying. My concern is, how do you reason? When you are planning, Don't, you can't be making plans for your children purely based on economic considerations. No. Come on. You can't be doing that. And even if you were doing that is, you wanted to plan for them with the economics in mind. That's what we're talking about, prayer. You must be a plowman of what? Of hope. Maybe one of these days, if I thought about doing it today, but maybe we'll get to it. How to pray for your children. The prayer you pray for them is much more important than the money you save up for them. I hope you understand that. It's much more important than the money that you saved up for them. The prayer I've prayed to God is that if it is money, my children should have plenty. More than I will have. I don't plan to need their money, but that's prayer. That they will prosper. And anywhere they go, they will prosper. Anywhere. Let me not see. Look, Jacob ran away from home. His father had a blessing. He collected that blessing before he ran away. It was a spiritual substance. Where he got to, he became rich. When Jacob began to grow in wealth, he had not taken a pin physically from Isaac. You are getting my point? Jacob's wealth was not physically derived from Isaac's, but it was derived from the spiritual wealth that Isaac had. What you should pass across to your children is spiritual blessing. That's it. I heard a story once many years ago. He said one day a family was fighting. A man died, left a lot of property, company, and all of that. So the children were fighting over it. He said one day the man who was the father's MD now, GM, running one of the father's companies. He called the man's first son. He said, all these people are fighting over. I hope that you know the real inheritance. Me, I have collected it. That you are fighting over land, money, who owns this company. He told the boy that the real inheritance, I collected it from your father. What is it? How the man built this business? I'm the only one he taught. The rest of you are flying all over the world, enjoying yourselves, feeling happy. Now you are here quarreling with your younger ones on who gets the house in VI, who gets the house in Abuja, who's going to be the majority shareholder in this company. He said, the real inheritance. I'm your collector. Well, I've worked with your father for maybe the last 30 years. I know how he wakes up, how he sleeps, how he makes business decisions, the disciplines that the man had in his life with which he built this kind of wealth. I learned it from him. None of you did. You are fighting over property. What's that fellow saying? If I live here, I will build what your father built. I will build it independently. While you and your younger ones are shooting each other on who inherit what. That is, the real wealth is not physical. It's not. The real wealth for us Christians is, number one, it is spiritual. And number two, you train those children. It's unfortunate because the Bible says that the man who sows, you know, the earth by itself produces. He himself does not know how. That's why you need the word of God. Because a lot of people prosper, they don't even know what they really did that helped them prosper. So they did not pass those things across to their children. So they train the children to be, you know, to be lazy, to have an entitlement mentality. Why? Because that is always there to give them something. Meanwhile, nobody gave daddy anything. That's how come he has everything today. Nobody gave him anything. He had to work for everything he had. But then now, before the beginning, when Papa go drop, when I'm going to school, normally it's kind of hot, you know. It gives me an AC card. So the boy doesn't even know that life is hot. You know, on this holiday, I don't like hanging around, you know. Depends layout is boring. Papa buy flight ticket. Fly all over the world. Then the boy thinks that life is like that. Then one day the father dies, trying to run the father's company. He can't. He doesn't understand that there are trying times in every business. So he's always flying his first class. Why shouldn't he fly first class? Because he grew up with an entitlement mentality. Life must always give me these things. There's one big man I heard of in Lagos. I forgot the name of the company now. I've told you, but one of these big companies in Nigeria, if I mention the name, you will know. But I've forgotten which of them now. He said one day the man fired all his sons, sacked all of them. You know, they were like his managers. You know, who is the ED in charge of this? It's one of his boys. Who is this one? It was the GM in this company. It's one of his boys. Then one day the man looked at the books, sacked all of them. You know why? Weekend, the boys are in London. Weekend. That is from Lagos. They don't read every weekend, they don't read London. Party, you know, when they want to go to party. They spend real cooler, you know what I'm saying? Real money. And the man look. Of course, you know who's paying now? Not them. Company pays all this. The man look the whole thing. Say, these boys will ruin this company well in my life. So you woke up one day and sacked every single one of them. Thank you very much. Don't worry, we'll be paying you money, but you're not working here again. Because they were running the company down. Why were they running it down? They didn't understand how the father built it up. The father wasn't flying first class all over the place. He didn't fly for a very long time. He trekked. Those are the disciplines that many rich people don't pass down to those children. But you want to settle them where life will not be difficult. Listen, even if your father's name is Bill Gates, life is hard. You understand? Life is hard doesn't mean you're a bad person. Life is hard means that, and the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the surface of the deep. And God always sends people inside to go and say, let there be light. So once God has given you life, he looks for where something is dark and he throws you in there. Say, you, go and command light to be. So when you get there, it's darkness. You have to tell the waters to separate. Tell the light to come. Tell the earth to bring forth. Tell the water. That's the job of a child of God, a co-creator of God. You start creating things. Life is hard. Let nobody lie to you that life is not hard. It's hard. That's why God rewards overcomers. He doesn't reward overchoppers. I hope you understand what I mean by overchopper. You have to be what? An overcomer. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now, why did I digress into that? Back to the issue of the plowman of hope. Yes. And I told you when I read that news, so I believe it was the Holy Spirit just allowed me to see, look at your brethren. They are not thinking. Don't let your money be a cost to you. That's the point I'm making. Don't use to buy things that after one generation, you wish you never did. That's just a point I am making. When you are doing your calculations, please calculate well. Please calculate well. I want to put my children where life will be comfortable for them economically. Ask yourself, which one is more important, economics or the spiritual side of it? That's what I'm trying to say. All right? I mean, don't let your son come back visiting you and he's wearing an earring and tattoo. Just know you have problems. That's the truth now. Your child comes back home. He's a teenager. He's wearing earrings and tattoo. You have to repent. You have to confess your sins before God. It's your fault. Tattoo. You're picking them. You're not saying, you know, in America, that's how they are. Listen. Responsible people in America don't wear earrings and tattoos. Point to one American governor with earring now. Go to Congress. How many produce there with earring and tattoo? He said, this person had earring and tattoo and he still made it. He's a musician. He's a basketballer. Listen, real people, earring and tattoo. They never realize that they'll be looking at you like this. You won't know why they didn't give you the job. Earring and tattoo. You're copying all kinds of nonsense. You know what I hate about tattoos? They are permanent. You can't even change your mind tomorrow. Yes, you can't change your mind tomorrow. Mike Tyson had a real problem with now tattooing his face. By the time you are tattooing your face, you are confused. That is, your confusion is permanent. Tattoo your face. I don't know if I say something, and that's your opinion. I will not have my opinion. That's why you came to hear it anyway. You understand my point? You wanted to hear my opinion. You wanted to hear Pastor Chris Okoti's opinion. You have gone to household of God. Is that not so? You wanted to hear Chris Okoti, what they call it, your Clement's opinion. You will go Christ in verse. Is that not so? But then you come to kwbm.com.ng. You wanted to hear Pastor Frank's opinion. So I will tell you my opinion. Listen, I just want to say it again. There's no education you are giving a teenager that you are sending him far away from home. I don't think it's wise. That's my opinion. Yes, you wanted to hear it. I don't don't know. People use their money to buy wahala. Pastor Paul Adeolu Adefarasi, he has told this story before. So let me just say it. His father was rich like that too. Father sent his brother Shegu, him, I don't know about Wale, but sent his boys abroad. The allowance Shegu said he was getting, that's the Pastor Paul's younger brother, in a year, that time was $50,000. Yeah. And average people working in the UK, that time, where would they see that kind of money? Say he rented a decent apartment, had two cars. When they want to have parties on weekends, people use alcohol and Indian hemp. There is cocaine. Boys will buy cocaine, start on Friday night. And he was in secondary school. I forgot to add that one to it. So when he finished secondary school in London, I said, yeah, this is not good though. So father arranged, now went to school in the US. He said he was happy to get away from London. At least, things will change. He said, great mistake. I was watching his testimony on Turning Point. That he thought, okay. He said, if I thought London was fast, America was on jet speed. By the time he was through, Americans deported him and sent him home. It was a mental case on cocaine. That's how all of them gave their life to Christ, because now only church can handle them. Pastor Paul's case is the same thing. Pastor Paul said he used to use crack. You know what they call crack? Highly purified cocaine. That's what he used to use. Why? His father had money and sent him to school. That's the only... There was nothing else. If he was in Lagos, there would have been no problem. That his father had money and sent him to Miami to go to school. That was it. His mother that is now enjoying them, because God delivered every single one of them. At least Shegu and Pastor Paul now are pastors. The problem is that why did this start? They had money. And used the money to buy trouble for the family. And one day Pastor Paul came to Enugu, was preaching. He said one day, he saw his son. He told the boy, have you had your bath? The boy said, yes. So he touched the boy. He said the boy went to the bathroom, poured water on the head and wiped it and came out and did like this for his father. Yes, I've had my bath. He said suddenly he remembered that that's all he used to do when he was young. He said, yeah, this boy, the one I remember, he said, you will not do to me what I did to my father. He brought a belt, attacked the boy. He said, listen, you won't do, because suddenly he said, he painted the picture of his life, what he became, how he broke his father's heart. You won't do to me what I did to my father. Beat sense out of the boy. Beat sense into him. Say, listen, oh boy, you won't do to me, that's how I remember it, what I did to my father. Because those boys gave their father serious heartache. But God finally had mercy. What am I talking about? I don't know why people want to use their money to buy trouble. What? I can't seem to leave this matter alone. What school is a 16-year-old boy going to? Far away from home. I can't understand it. Oh boy, you are going to UNN. In fact, UNEC here. UNEC. We will send you to UNN. You are going to UNEC here. So that every weekend. You can stay on campus, no problem. But periodically, boy, half hour. Before you praise too much, I don't catch you. I don't take you. Rearrange you properly. It's true. It's true. I have to see you periodically. I don't toss you up to where I'll be seeing you twice in a year. For what? I like God for me, but the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Please, though, I went into that to say, when you are reasoning, don't only reason economically, reason spiritually. That's all I'm saying. Once you have reasoned spiritually, you cannot reason economically, you can reason politically, and then reason geographically. And when you have reasoned all of this reasoning together, if you say it's America, God says go to, fine. If it is Cameroon, the will of God. If it's New Zealand, God will go with you. But please, start your reasoning spiritually. And don't forget, the plowman must plow in what? In hope. This is my series. I'm teaching to those who really believe in praying for their nation. That's it. If you don't, it doesn't concern you. Forget that you listen to the messages. Toss them away.
live your life the way you want to live it. I'm talking to those who believe in praying for their nation, who know that they are on assignment from God to do it. Those are the people I am talking to. I say it one more time, God will take care of you. Did you hear that?
Yes, sir.
Let me say it one more time. God will take care of you.
Amen.
And he will take care of your own.
Amen.
He will take care of your children.
Amen.
You cannot serve him, all right, and he will not take care of you. Thou shalt serve the Lord thy God, and he will bless your bread and your waters. It's a spiritual principle. Once you are truly serving God, he will bless your bread, bless your water, bless your children, bless everything that concerns you. Your seed will be mighty on this earth in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So I've established all these foundational principles, and it's revealing that I wanted to speak about planning for your seed. And then we'll talk about that again at another time, maybe on a Saturday series. We'll talk about planning for your seed. Very, very important. And the emphasis, of course, I'm going to lay is the fact that it's a spiritual seed that you sow for them. That's the primary thing. And you keep on praying and praying, and God actually answers prayers. And then when you walk a walk of righteousness, you invoke a blessing upon your offspring by that. Let's read the book of John chapter 1. That will be one that I'm talking about. What do we pray for concerning our country? What do we pray for concerning our nation? Very important. I want you to understand something. God has a plan, and the devil is always trying to thwart the plan of God once he discovers it. Once Jesus was born, when Jesus came to the earth, Satan, once he heard that, he set out to kill the young child. And he walked through Herod to slaughter every child that was 2 years and younger because he was looking for one child. Are you getting my point? There was a particular child he wanted to kill. He was not interested in all the children in Israel. He was just in one. And that's how he walks. All right? If you're going to read Revelation also, you see the same principle there. That Satan is trying, the dragon, trying to kill that man child that was born. So anytime God is trying to do something, Satan also has his plan to try and thwart it. All right? So when God is redeeming the land, planning to bless a nation, Satan will also go out trying to thwart that plan of God. And many of the things that we find around, which is why I'm talking about it, is actually part of satanic machinations to try and thwart the plan of God. There was a time Rehoboam Bonnke did a crusade in Ilorin. And of course, typical of Rehoboam Bonnke, it was a massively successful crusade. A Rehoboam Bonnke kind of crusade is a type that can change a town, all right, from being predominantly Muslim to predominantly Christian in one crusade. You know my point? So it did wreak havoc in the kingdom of darkness in Kaduna. The next crusade was supposed to be in Kano. And they had planned it. He had done it in Kaduna before. I think it was after Kaduna he went to Kano. And now he went to Ilorin. I think he was now going to Kano. Then, there was no Boko Haram that time. Riot broke out in Kano to prevent Rehoboam Bonnke from coming. He was panicked spiritually now. He panicked. This guy is coming. So they went to the Emir's palace and said, nobody is coming here. Let's make a long story short. Riots broke out. The government had to stop. Of course, the crusade couldn't hold. Rehoboam Bonnke couldn't come. And actually, he was banned from coming to Nigeria after that. The next time Rehoboam Bonnke came to Nigeria was when Obasanjo became president. He came to attend the inauguration. By that time, things had changed. And then the current government allowed him in. Of course, it was a different government now. Now, what I'm trying to bring out is that you see Satan was working, trying to prevent the advancement of the gospel. I dare to say. That's why you must be careful what you say. Very, very careful. You know, my friend Pastor Corey will explain that, you see, what's happening in the country currently is basically a distraction. Most of our prayers now is on what? Security. Have you noticed that? And that you are praying now is security, 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 security. Some don't even pray. Their own is break it, break it, break it, you know, break it, break it. All right? That is, Satan has essentially succeeded, in quotes now, in diverting the attention of people from what is most important to what is less important. Security is important, amen?
Amen.
But it's not the most important thing. Economic prosperity is important, amen?
Amen?
But it's not the most important thing, all right? Good roads are important, amen?
Amen?
They are not the most important things. Good leaders are good, they are not the most important things. There are things that are more important in a country than those things. And I'm going to talk about that now. And first of all, is the gospel of Jesus. Next is justice. That's how it is. The gospel of Jesus is number one. Next is justice. Before we're talking about the road and all of that. That's how it is. So we have to be careful. When we're praying for the country, we also have to put first things first. The book of John chapter 1. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him. And it says, without Him, is apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life. Now, please notice that. Verse 4. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend or overcome it. Now, you see that it said in John chapter 3, just quickly go down to chapter 3, from verse 13. He said, no one has ascended into heaven. Then verse 14 says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes will in Him have eternal life. Verse 16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might through Him be saved. He who believes in Him is not judged, and he who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This, he said, is the judgment. That the light has come into the world, and men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. Let me just stop here, alright? One more scripture, then I'll make the first point I want to make, and then we'll close for today. Luke chapter 10. How to pray for a nation. We have laid some important foundations. What are the things we ask God for in every country in which we are planted? Now, after this, the Lord appointed 70 others. That's verse 1 I'm reading from. And sent them in pairs ahead of Him to every city and place where He Himself was going to come. So just by the way, if you think Jesus did not have plans, you can see He did. He had a strategy. We are going to go through all these cities. So before we will arrive, two of you go here, two of you go here. Go and warm the ground. Tell them we are coming. Yeah, that's not my point. He had a plan. He didn't just wake up in the morning and say, where's Holy Spirit blowing us today? Where's my nose facing? He said, Master, it's facing Capernaum. All right, let's go to Capernaum. It's not like that. They will sit down, Him, Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, all of them, and say, all right, we need to cover this district. How many towns are we going to go into? They will say, 35. It's okay. Let's get 70 people who will go two each, all right? That they go in pairs into each of those towns. Then this is what they will preach. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. They will tell stories. Master is coming. They'll say things. And then Jesus will come in, preach the gospel, heal the sick, raise the dead, and all of that. So he had a plan. That just by the way. All right? So let's continue reading. Verse 2, and he was saying to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Please notice that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. That is, we should have had more than 70 people, but that's all I could find. And I'm just adding my own to it, all right? They now give instructions to the people that he sent out. Carry no money belt, no bag, no shoes, greet no one on the way, and all of that, and all of that. And these are the things these are the instructions he gave them while they went around to execute, ahead to execute the ministry. Now, why did I read these things? All right? I read from John chapter 1. We're talking about what do we ask God for a country. Now, remember this. This is how God did it. I need to keep emphasizing this. The heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth He has given to the children of men. What that means simply is that if God wants to do something, I want you to just get this one in mind. Let me just quickly drop this. Sorry, I have a message to preach quickly on that. Let me drop that and then we'll go. All right? If God gives you a revelation concerning what he would do, do you understand my point? He didn't say plan to bring it to pass. That's not the first thing. First thing you do is that you start praying about that revelation. Did you hear what I said? I'm not sure you heard me. Let me say it again. Assuming now you are a small man, a small woman, and you had great ideas on how to build great industries in your nation. And you actually dreamt one night and dreamt of it. Or somebody was preaching and a revelation came. God is not saying, go and start, you know, start researching online on how to do it. Once that revelation comes, the first thing you do is to pray. Now, when I say pray now, I'm not saying just pray, oh, is this the will of God? I mean, start praying the thing into existence. Pray with that thing in mind. Start declaring words in that direction. That is the first, that's the primary thing. It's when you have done that, as you are doing that, that understanding starts coming to you on what to do, and God starts mobilizing people to help you do what you are supposed to do. If you don't do that, you will labor and may never see that thing come to pass. That's a mistake people make. Usually what God actually does most of the time is to tell you, prepare for this, what I'm about to do. He's not saying do it. I don't know whether you get my point. He's not saying do it. He's saying prepare for what I am about to do. He said, I, the Lord, I do a new thing. It's not you that's doing it. He's the one that is doing it. So why does he reveal it to us? He said, oh boy, the heavens are the heavens of the Lord. All right? So what I do then, when I want to do something on the earth, I look for people, all right, on that earth to cooperate with me so that I can bring it to pass. And the first people are those who say, not those who do. I don't know whether you get my point. They are not those who run about. They are those who say. What they are doing, they are giving authority to that thing that God wants to do. So it starts praying and hearing words and prophesying about. He can do that alone for the first 5 years. Sometimes 10 years. Before suddenly, all right? Because what happens is that what the Lord is doing with that is that as you are praying, as I said, pray the Lord of the harvest. I'm not going to bring out an issue here. Okay, you are a small man. You went to school. You have a degree from a school that's not internationally known. Maybe you go to America. You mention the name of your school. They say, which continent? You know that kind of thing. You don't have money. Your father didn't leave anything significant for you. The land left in the village. You guys are still quarreling over who owns the one near the tree. Are you getting what I'm saying? How do you build a business of $1 billion? That's what I'm trying to explain. How? You can't. By yourself. That's what I'm saying. But actually, there are people that have $10 billion looking for what to do with it. That's what I'm saying. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the harvest. When you start praying about things like that, God starts arranging favor. You understand my point? Changing governments, laws are rearranged, people are offering you deals, then you start climbing bit by bit, your faith is enlarged. Then one day you look, that dream has not only been fulfilled, it began to dream another one. But the mistake most people make is to get up. How do we do this? Who do we know here? They start planning. After 5 years of intense planning, they are frustrated. Why? You see, these battles are spiritual. You are running against spiritual forces you don't realize. You think you are contending with men. You are actually running against spiritual forces. So God gives you a vision. You know, something happened the other day when I went for our convention. I was praying the last evening and everything. I got up to speak. I just told people that, listen, there's something, I shared it with my wife and Pastor Corey afterwards. What suddenly dropped in my mind while we were praying there, and I just had a strong feeling that it's from God. I told my wife later, so what are we going to do about it? I said, nothing. What am I going to do? It has now become a prayer point. That's all. It has now become what? A prayer point. God wasn't saying that back here, you're not going to do the organize. Just begin to pray about it. The time will come when if you have to do, you now know what to do. Then God starts opening doors. When Pastor Podi was preaching that series on the quantum leap, strategies for a quantum leap, when he began, you know, I was following. At the point in time, I was a bit, curious, you know, like, okay, how will people decide, how will I as a person listening to this also, decide
when to take a leap, you understand? You just wake up in the morning, just close every door and jump. And he himself preaching said that you may jump and not land properly. That you may jump and land in a hole, but that there are holes out there. So I listened to the message, like the third or fourth message. He now began to explain that what will actually happen is that God will open doors. And that when God opens a door, the whole message he's preaching is that don't be afraid to walk through that door. That those doors usually are great and they will put you at risk. What was the message? When God opens a door, walk through it. When God gives the opportunity, leap. Don't try and create your own leaping process. Are you getting my point? Wait for God to open the doors and then be bold and walk into it. Are you getting my point? Why did I bring up that matter? So when you are praying about it, those are the things that God will be doing so that one day the thing opens, you know the time has come for us to begin to take steps in this direction. That's what I'm going to explain. So you get a vision from the Lord. The first assignment is what?
Pray.
Is what?
Pray.
Thank you. That is the first assignment. And not in a hurry. A lot of people are, you know, one of the problems of this life, people are too, they are too eager, they are too emotional, they are too zealous. The zeal is too much. The zeal. People have too much zeal. Just have a dream today, tomorrow. Hey, we are going to conquer all the nations in Nigeria. And by the time, before they preach from here to Abapa, they are tired. What God has said, okay, I've given you the vision, the dream to conquer all the nations, all right, in the country. There's every segment. First thing you do is what? Pray that vision into existence. And most of the time, now take this with a bit of caution and with understanding. Most of the time, you continue doing what you are doing currently and don't do any other thing. So, but I have a vision to read the whole world. Don't worry. It's a vision. Don't be so. No vision. With everything that God told Paul, 2 years, he didn't go anywhere. 2 years, he didn't go anywhere. Most of the people that conquered the whole world with preaching, go and check it. They reference my good example. Most of them didn't do anything more than, you see what I'm doing here? Eh? That's what they were doing too. Nothing more than that. Then somebody will just come one day and say, good afternoon, sir. Please, there's a program in so and so place. He didn't organize it. He will go there, stand very coolly, and preach again. Then it's after that, say, there's another program. He didn't organize any one of those programs. The Prince said in the U.S., what the people that God really used to move him around was full gospel businessmen. So a few of them listened to the messages, and they began to invite him from one place to the other. Said the day he got to New Zealand was when he found out that there was already Derek Prince New Zealand. I don't know what I heard. I said he went to New Zealand to go and preach, and when he got there, they gave him papers to sign. What am I signing? That they want to incorporate the ministry in New Zealand. That they had been broadcasting his messages on air, and people had been writing in. So it was difficult to manage it. So they needed to open an office. So they needed to start Derek Prince Ministries New Zealand formally. It had existed for a long time. So now needed him to just sign a few papers and go back to where he came from. I don't know whether you understand my point. Yeah. The people were running it. They were raising money. They were gathering money. They were doing everything. But you hear Derek Prince Ministries New Zealand. Bro did not start it. This man was covering half of the globe daily with the messages that he was preaching. I'm emphasizing something. Jesus talked about praying the Lord of the harvest. I need to explain that, okay? I still have not made the point I wanted to make. Maybe we'll make it next time. Our time is almost up, all right? Now, what I'm trying to emphasize is that when you have a vision from the Lord, the first thing you do what?
Pray.
The first thing you do is what?
Pray.
And you pray consistently. Every time that vision comes to your mind, don't just sit down there and say, nice idea. You wake up at night. You see, that's what this fasting and praying thing is for. Don't be waking up at night to chase enemies. For what? Or the Buddha say, I will not sleep. They have succeeded, you are praying. You wake up at night to pray against those who say you will not sleep. Have they not succeeded? They now come and say, why are you dozing in? I was awake at night. What are you doing? I was praying against all those who said I will not sleep. No, that's not what you do. That is the time you start declaring in the name of Jesus. Those television stations, the radio stations, we are going to start them. It will happen. That will cover this land with this. And you wake up at night, donate 1 hour, then you go back to sleep. During the day, you are hustling like everybody else. You're not even working in a radio station. You are getting my point? You're just hustling like everybody else. You're there selling your recharge card. Nothing spoil. Are you getting my point? But they see you on the road, you know, running up and down. Maybe you're one of those boys on the road selling card. They don't know that at night. I had a new revelation recently. He said, I must walk the walk of him while it is day. The night cometh when no man can walk. I used to think that the night coming when all men can sleep. He said, no man can walk. But I realized that he will walk during the day, and many nights he will pray. I don't know whether he got that. This is how it is. There is a day season when you will walk, but there are nine seasons in which what you do is what? Pray. I don't mean physical night, yes, but before the day comes when you can walk. Because the days of God, go and check it, they start at night. Yeah, God doesn't start the day during the day. It was evening and morning, the first day. That's God for you. It was evening and morning. Sabbath to start at 6 p.m. The Sabbath was 24 hours. Remember that? Seventh day, the Sabbath day. The Jews started it at 6 at night, not in the morning. The Sabbath was not from 6 a.m. to 6 a.m. It was from 6 p.m. today to 6 p.m. tomorrow. The night was always first. So when God is counting days, it is the night first. And then the day. And when your life seems to pass from one day, bright things were happening, then suddenly things are not working as well as they should, you should know you are stepping into the next day. You are not stepping into troubles. I don't know what you got to say. You are starting the new day. The new day, God's day, always starts at night. It doesn't start during the day. So business was doing very well. You were making money. Suddenly, nothing is moving again. Nothing is moving again. You say, oh, my enemies. It's not your enemies. It's the beginning of the what? The new day. The new day is about to begin. So what do? That night season? So you see all those people running up and down the road. There. One of them, when everybody at night, everybody don't go watch Man U. Arsenal. Plymouth. Which other? Borussia Dortmund. Give me another one now. Manchester. Bayern Munich. Thank you. Give me one in South America. Galapagos, there's one Galapagos, what's the name of them? Galatasaray, thank you, you know. While other people are watching, the young man is there. During the day, he has little education. He also sells a charge card on the road, running up and down. But because he has heard good word, when everybody has gone to sleep, when they are watching matches, he's at home. He has a Bible in his hand, he's pacing up and down. My life will not always be like this. I will not always be on the road. I'm a great man that God has made. I'm going somewhere. Are you getting my point? We are going. And begins to declare. He's declaring. While he's doing that, he suddenly becomes lucky. I don't know what I get my point. He becomes lucky. One day he's selling card to somebody. I said, why are you selling card here? Oh, that's great things are going to happen. Why are you not going to school? Then that's he becomes lucky. Somebody opens the door for you. You can come and do this. 10 years later, he's telling the testimony wearing a very sharp, ugly tie. Are you getting my point? With a very expensive suit, and he's giving you a testimony. You now say that boy was hardworking. Yes, but it's not the hard work. It was the night when everybody else was watching Man U. You are getting what I'm not explaining. So you have a vision from God, my brothers, my sisters. Forget zeal. You know, I told there's a cure for zeal. You need to cure your zeal. Zeal is not good for you. If you are too zealous, it's not good. You have to temper it. The Bible says for a soul, you know, to be without knowledge is not good. He said that a good understanding. How does that scripture go again? Proverbs. I preached on it. A cure for zeal. To be in a hurry is not good. He that makes haste with his feet ends. You have a vision, you don't run after it immediately. You pray after it, about it for a long time. A whole year you are still praying. A whole year you are still praying. I read that scripture for a different reason, but I've used another thing now. Because all of you are looking at me, I know you are learning something from it. So that's why I can't leave it. People have been looking at me. Hi, he said, Pastor, preach this one, preach this one. We'll pray for the country next time. Preach this one. Oh, the Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. Listen, actually, as believers, one of the things you have to understand spiritual things. Sometimes people, you know, hurry to do things and take them 10 years to succeed in doing it. But even if they are taking the first 2 years and done nothing, and what they've done is to continue what you are doing currently, you're selling a recharge card on the road, and the fellow is praying this prayer we are talking about, and they begin to learn, study the word of God. God, but that's what God does for you. First thing he gives you is wisdom. Yeah, look, what he gives you is what? Wisdom. Paul talked to Timothy about it, called the wisdom for salvation. Many of the things we learn by trial and error, actually, God did not plan for us to try and fail. Our trial and error was simply because we did not learn. So we have to learn on the job. I don't know whether I get my point. You've heard the story before of Thomas Edison. He tested the filament bulb how many times? Everybody has said, I've heard 10,000, I've heard 3,000. But let's just, I think the one I heard that seems most authoritative was 10,000. He said he tested the electric bulb 10,000 times before it finally worked, right? And when they asked him, how come you were able to test it 10,000 times without getting tired? He said, I only discovered 10,000 times, 10,000 ways by which it wouldn't work. But how many of you ever heard of Tesla? Tesla was a scientist also, his contemporary. While he was working on direct current, Tesla worked on alternative current. Tesla won because his alternative current was obviously better for long distance transmission. Direct current only works for very short distance. So if you see the batteries on your, the terminals on your car batteries, very thick. Otherwise, it will generate a lot of heat. Anyway, let me not get too technical. Now, Tesla, while he was working on electric bulb, Tesla and co. worked on fluorescent tubes, things like that. These mechanisms. That's what they worked on. So God just helped both people, both parties. Both of them did very well. But of course, as you know, eventually Tesla is going to be the one you will remember because the electric bulb is going to phase out over the next 10 years. The only reason why we still use it now is because those what you call low energy bulbs, they are expensive. Once they drive the cost down, everybody is going to abandon the filament bulb. Now, why did I tell the story of Tesla? When I heard this, I was impressed to hear it. They said that while Thomas Edison was trying and trying and trying, Tesla didn't used to like that. That Tesla said that Thomas Edison used to waste a lot of energy. That Thomas Edison worked unnecessarily. That most of his work was a waste of energy. That you only the man will settle down and think. Tesla's testimony, let me explain it now, use down that, is that, I'm modifying words now, is that if Thomas Edison had bothered to settle down and think, he probably would have tested that bulb only 10 times. But that the man wouldn't rest to think. He was an energy person. Grow, grow, grow. Then we in today, we have now learned that never give up, keep on. Tesla said, listen, what am I doing testing a bulb 10,000 times? I read the story of a physicist. His name was Kaluza. Kaluza believed that theory was very important. So one day to prove it, there was a simple way he proved it. He had never swum in his life. He read a book on how to swim and jumped into a lake. I don't know whether you get the points. He had never, tested, do like this. Kaluza took a book on how to swim, read it, digested it, and then jumped into a lake and swam. That if you have good theory in mind, you understand? The practice will work. I don't know that you get the point. So, Tesla said Thomas Edison was a time and energy waster because the man chose not to do much thinking. Now, why did I bring up that one today? Actually, the first thing God gives is what? Wisdom. All the time, Trump raised that people are running for 10 years because they don't worry. Spend 2 years praying, reading, listening to me. You will catch up with those who tried for 10 years in 2 years. Ultimately, you'll have spent 4 years to get to where they got to in 10 years. And eventually, you will overtake them. By the time you have worked for 10 years, it will be as if they worked for 50 years. So what God wants to do, let me get back to it now, is that he gives us a vision and we start praying for it. Anything he wants to do, this was why I went into that. Anything he wants to do, the first thing he does is to get people to pray with him, which is the reason why he gives us visions. So if God wants to evangelize your country, you and I have to pray about it. Are you getting my point? Somebody has to. Why am I talking about that? What is the first thing a nation needs? Which was why we read John chapter 1, John chapter 3. The truth is that the most important thing every group of people need on this earth is the light of God. And that light of God, the other name is the gospel of Jesus Christ. I started by explaining the fact that my friend said many of the things happening is a distraction. That Christians now don't pray for the gospel anymore. What are they praying for? Peace. Well, the first thing that Maiduguri needs is not peace. The most important thing they need is what? Light of the gospel. The whole of Borno State needs the light of the gospel. And all this fight of Boko Haram is to ensure that that gospel does not stay, does not move, does not progress. That's all. But we easily forget. And it's not our fault. That's how human beings are. We react. So when we are praying for a nation, don't ever forget this. We must pray for the advancement of the gospel. Let me stop here. All right? I said many things today. I hope you are blessed by them.
Yes,
I hope you are blessed by them.
Yes, sir.
Can we just share the grace in fellowship because we have spent a lot of time? Because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death. We have passed into life. We have passed off darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above in Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus. One more time. This is my season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus.